Captain's log, stardate 4307.1. Approaching Starbase 6 for a much-needed period of rest and recreation.
Crew has performed excellently, but is exhausted. And I, too, am looking forward to a nice period of rest on some lovely planet.
Captain, I was a message from Starbase 6. It's heavy interference. All I get is intrepid and what sounded like a sector coordinate.
Interesting. No indications of magnetic storms in this sector.
Try another channel, Lieutenant.
Aye, sir.
Intrepid is manned by Vulcans, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Enterprise calling Starbase 6. Enterprise calling Starbase 6.
Spock clutches his head.
What is this, Spock? You're in pain?
Captain, the Intrepid, it just died.
Kirk glances at McCoy.
And the 400 Vulcans aboard, all dead.
Come on, Spock. Let's go down to sick bay.
Doctor, I know what I know.
Get to the sick bay.
Captain.
No. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
His expression numb, Spock nods and allows McCoy to lead him from the bridge. Chekhov takes over at the science station.
Captain, I have Starbase 6 readable now. Switching to audio, sir.
Kirk, here, go ahead.
You will divert immediately to Sector 39J.
Sir, the Enterprise just completed an exhausting mission. We're on our way in for R&R. There must be another starship in that sector.
Negative. This is a rescue priority. We've lost all contact with Solar System Gamma 7A, which the Intrepid was investigating. And we've just lost contact with the Intrepid. Report progress.
Order acknowledged. Kirk out.
Uhura looks bitterly disappointed.
Mr. Gow, you heard the order. Set a course for Gamma 7A, warp 5.
Aye, sir.
Captain, I have just completed a full long-range scan of Gamma 7A system. It is dead.
Dead?
Kirk looks through the science station scanner.
Fourth magnitude sun. There are billions of inhabitants there.
It is dead.
Kirk looks up in disbelief.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life, and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, starring William Shatner. Also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock and DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy. The Immunity Syndrome, written by Robert Sabaroff, directed by Joseph Pevney. Spock lies on the diagnostic table in sickbay.
I assure you, Doctor, I'm quite all right. The pain was momentary. It passed quickly.
Well, all of my instruments seem to agree with you. If I can trust these crazy Vulcan readings.
Spock gets up.
Spock, how can you be so sure the Intrepid was destroyed?
I sensed it die.
But I thought you had to be in physical contact with the subject before.
Doctor, even I, a half-Vulcan, could hear the death scream of 400 Vulcan minds crying out over the distance between us.
Not even a Vulcan could feel a starship die.
Call it a deep understanding of the way things happen to Vulcans. But I know that not a person, not even the computers on board the Intrepid, knew what was killing them, or would have understood it had they known.
But 400 Vulcans...
I've noticed that about your people, Doctor. You find it easier to understand the death of one than the death of a million. You speak about the objective hardness of the Vulcan heart, yet how little room there seems to be in yours.
He goes towards the door.
Suffer the death of thy neighbor, eh, Spock? You wouldn't wish that on us, would you?
It might have rendered your history a bit less bloody.
Unsmiling, Spock turns away. Spock returns to the bridge.
Spock, you may have been right. We've just lost contact with the Intrepid and are out of communication with an entire solar system. Any update from Starfleet?
I cannot filter out the distortions, sir. It's getting worse.
Captain, deflector shields just snapped on.
Slow to warp 3.
Warp 3, sir.
Kirk takes the captain's chair.
Indications of energy turbulence ahead. Unable to analyze. I've never encountered readings like this before.
Kirk glances up at Spock.
Scanner's on.
The forward view screen shows the usual smattering of stars and galaxies.
Magnification 3 on the screen.
Magnification factor 3, sir.
Uhura brings some files to Spock.
Exactly what are we looking for, Mr. Spock?
I would assume that.
On screen is a large area of darkness, fringed with a pale blue glow. It moves and changes shape like an amoeba. Stars vanish as they disappear behind it.
What is that?
Perhaps an interstellar dust cloud.
Not very likely, Anson.
No? You'd be able to see stars through a dust cloud. Looks like a hole in space. Readings, Mr. Spock.
Still not able to analyze, Captain. Sensors are feeding data to the computers now. Whatever this dark zone is, it lies directly in line with the course I calculate for the Intrepid and the Gamma 7A system.
Kirk looks pensive and rubs a hand over his chin.
Hold present course. Slow to warp 1.
Warp factor 1, sir.
Mr. Chekov, prepare to launch telemetry probe into that zone. Direct computer feed to Mr. Spock.
Aye, sir. Probe ready. Switching data feed to library computer.
Launch probe.
Probe launched, sir.
Everyone on the bridge except Spock clamps their hands over their ears. At the comms console, Uhura, the glamorous black communications officer, tears her earpiece from her ear.
What was that?
The telemetry probe, sir. There's no signal from it.
Speculation, Spock.
I have none, Captain. Insufficient data.
Uhura staggers.
Oh!
Lieutenant?
Just dizzy. I'll be all right. I'm fine, sir.
Sickbay to Captain Kirk. McCoy here.
Kirk, how is it?
I'm getting reports from every deck. Half the people on the ship just fainted.
Uhura almost did. She says she's all right. You want to see her?
Not unless she's feeling ill. I've got an emergency down here.
What's wrong?
Well, it's nothing organic. They all seem to be nervous, weak, and irritable. They say it happens suddenly like a balloon popping.
Can you handle it, Bones?
I'm giving them stimulants to keep them on their feet. Yeah, we can handle it, Jim.
Good. Kirk out.
In sickbay, Nurse Chapel injects a line of women with a hypospray. Kirk looks around the bridge. Kyle, at the helm, looks unwell. Uhura sits with her head in her hand. Kirk looks at the shape on the view screen and goes up to the gallery.
Hold our position, Mr. Kyle.
Aye, aye, sir.
Spock, give me an update on the dark area ahead.
No analysis due to insufficient information.
No speculation, no information, nothing. I've asked you 3 times for information on that thing, and you've been unable to supply it. Insufficient data is not sufficient, Mr. Spock. You're the science officer. You're supposed to have sufficient data all the time.
I'm well aware of that, Captain. But the computers contain nothing on this phenomenon. It is beyond our experience, and the new information is not yet significant.
I don't know about you, but I'm tired.
Spock looks at him shrewdly.
If you can't tell me what it is, let's use reverse logic. Perhaps it'll help if you tell me what it isn't.
It is not liquid, gaseous, or solid, despite the fact we cannot see through it.
So far, that's not much help.
It is not a galactic nebula, such as the coal sack. And since our deflectors were activated by it, it would seem to be some form of energy, but nothing our sensors can identify.
Is it possible that this is what killed that solar system and the Intrepid?
Very possible.
Kirk walks along the gallery to the comms console. Lieutenant Uhura still looks unwell. He puts a hand on her shoulder.
Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Notify the Starfleet. We're going to attempt to probe the area of darkness to gain further information.
Oh, yes, sir.
Kirk falters.
Yeah.
He steadies himself on the command chair.
Distance from zone of darkness, Mr. Cowell?
100,000 kilometers, sir.
All right. Ahead slow. Impulse power only.
Aye, sir.
The dark amoeba-like shape almost fills the screen.
Transmission to Starfleet complete, sir.
Kirk stands between Chapel and Kyle at the con.
Time, Mr. Chekov.
Penetration of the zone in 1 minute, 7 seconds, sir.
Kirk goes back to the command chair.
Red alert. Reflectors full power. Laser banks ready.
Laser standing by. Deflectors at full power, sir.
Again, everyone covers their ears and writhes in agony.
It's not coming from communications, sir.
Spock! Analyzing now, Captain.
Chekov clamps his hands to his ears and looks up at the view screen. His jaw sags.
Captain, the stars are gone.
The forward view screen is completely black, with not a star or glimmer of light anywhere.
Malfunction, Mr. Spock?
Negative, Captain. All systems functioning properly.
Then kindly tell me what happened to the stars.
Unknown, Captain.
Kirk to McCoy.
McCoy here.
Things any better down there?
Worse. They're backed up into the corridor.
Well, have you got anything that'll help up here? I don't want anybody folding on the bridge at a critical moment.
On my way. McCoy out.
Kirk to engineering. Scotty, there was a power loss. How come?
We lost 5% of our energy reserves, sir. Our deflector shields are weakened.
Can you compensate for the loss?
Aye, if we don't lose any more. Don't ask me how it happened.
I am asking how, mister. I want answers. Kirk out.
McCoy and a nurse arrive and start hypo-spraying the bridge crew.
What's that?
A stimulant.
McCoy injects Chekov.
Bones. How bad is it?
2/3 of the personnel are affected.
He goes over to Carl at the helm and injects him.
Why? Oh. Do you have any answers?
I know you've got everything I can tell you, but when there is nothing, what do you want me to say?
A lieutenant at the engineering console collapses to the floor.
Oh. Nurse.
This ship is in trouble.
We better start solving problems faster than we pick up new ones. We seem to be in the middle of a creeping paralysis.
Kirk wrings his hands.
Mr. Spock, analysis of that last burst of noise before we started losing power?
That sound was the turbulence caused by the penetration of a boundary layer, Captain.
What boundary layer?
Unknown.
A boundary layer between what and what?
Between where we were and where we are.
Are you trying to be funny, Mr. Spock?
It would never occur to me, Captain.
Do you have any ideas, Spock?
We still have no specifics, but we seem to have entered a zone of energy which is incompatible with our living and mechanical processes. As we draw closer to the source, it grows stronger, and we grow weaker.
Recommendations?
I have one.
McCoy comes over.
I recommend survival. Let's get out of here.
The craggy-faced doctor gives Kirk a hard stare and steps back into the lift. Kirk looks round at his groggy-looking crew and opens a ship-wide comms channel.
This is the captain. We're on a difficult mission, but it's not the first time. Our orders do not say stay alive or retreat.
Our mission is to investigate. We're sick and we're getting sicker.
We have no guarantees, but we have a good ship and the best crew in Starfleet. So do your jobs. Carry on, Kirk.
In sickbay, McCoy comes over to the comm screen on his desk.
Sickbay to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here. Go ahead, Bones.
Jim, according to the life indicators, the energy levels...
Yes, say it, Bones.
According to the life monitors, we're dying.
We're all dying.
Captain's log, stardate 4308.8. It is now 10 minutes since we entered the zone of darkness. We have stopped engines while we seek a defense against the energy drain which seems to pervade the zone.
The ship rocks.
You all right? What was that? I'm sorry, sir. I'm not sure. I was trying to recalibrate and we went into reverse.
Reverse? But that was a forward lurch. How could that happen, a reverse thrust?
I don't know, sir. All I know is that...
They're in engineering.
Our power levels are down 12% and steadily decreasing. I've never experienced anything like it.
Bridge to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here.
Sir, we are accelerating. We are being pulled toward the center of the zone of darkness.
By what, Spock?
Unknown, Captain. I suggest you order Mr. Scott to give us reverse power.
He just gave us reverse power. We lurched forward.
In that case, Captain, I would suggest we apply forward thrust.
Nurse Chapel attends a patient.
Doctor. Life function indicators. They've started a sharp drop again.
Stimulants. I don't know how long we can keep this up.
McCoy looks gloomily up at the biomonitor.
What do you think, Scotty? Forward thrust?
I don't know, sir. It goes against the rules of logic.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Well, if it doesn't work, I'll never let Spock live it down. Nudge it into forward.
Let's
go ahead.
They hurry back to the main engineering panel.
That's doing it, sir. We're slowing down.
But we're not stopping. We're still being dragged forward.
Have one of your engineers monitor the instruments. Keep applying thrust against the pull.
Doctor, they seem to be stabilizing.
But at a dangerously low level. Well, we're still alive. I suppose that's something. All I can attribute is the further we travel into this zone of darkness, the weaker our life functions become, and I have no idea why.
Kirk and the department heads are in the briefing room.
I'm all right. It's those stimulants. They catch up with you.
Engineering.
As far as the power levels are concerned, everything is acting backwards, but the drain is continuing. On the static test, I could only get 60% power. We're still being dragged forward.
Spock.
It is logical to assume that something within this zone absorbs all forms of energy, whether mechanically or biologically produced. Whatever it is, it would seem to be the same thing which drew all the energy out of an entire solar system and the Intrepid.
The same thing, not the zone itself?
I would say not, Captain. The analysis of the zone indicates it is a negative energy field, however illogical that may sound. But it is not the source of the power drain.
Maybe it's a shield of some kind. Some form of protection for something else.
But what?
We'll find out what it is, but we better get out of here ourselves. Scotty, channel all the impulse and warp power into one massive thrust forward. That might snap us out of the zone.
Aye, Captain. But I'll reserve some for the shields just in case we don't get out.
I submit, Mr. Scott, that if we do not get out, the shields would be extraneous. They would only prolong our wait for death by a short period of time.
Use whatever power is necessary to get us out of here, Scotty. Report to your stations. Continue your research. Dismissed.
Everyone stands except Kirk. Spock goes to the door, hesitates, and turns back to his captain.
Captain, the Intrepid would have done all these things too, and yet they were destroyed.
Well, they may not have done all these things. You've just pointed out how illogical this situation is.
True. It is also true they never knew what was killing them. Their logic would not have permitted them to believe they were being killed.
Explain.
Vulcan has not been conquered within its collective memory. The memory goes back so far that no Vulcan can conceive of a conqueror. I knew the ship was lost because I sensed it.
What was it you sensed?
A touch of death.
And what do you think they felt?
Astonishment.
Spock goes. The Enterprise hangs in a black, featureless void. On the upper engineering level, Scotty works at the banks of master controls.
That ought to do it. Engineering to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here. What is it, Scotty?
Ready to try it when you are, sir.
Do we have the power to pull it off, Scotty?
I hope so, Captain.
Stand by.
All hands, this is the captain. We are slowly being pulled deeper into the zone of darkness by an unknown force. We're going to apply all available power into one giant forward thrust in the hope that it will yank us out of the zone. Prepare yourselves. All right, Scotty, let's get on with it.
On the bridge, Chekhov and Kyle of the Con are pressed back into their seats as the acceleration kicks in. All over the Enterprise, crew are hurled to the floor. The vessel comes back onto an even keel. Kirk clutches at his chair.
Scotty.
It's no good, sir. The best we can do is to maintain thrust against the pull and hold our position.
Are we still losing power?
Aye, sir.
How long will the power hold out?
At this rate, plus the drain on all systems, 2 hours, sir.
Maintain thrust, Scotty. Well, we're maintaining our distance, Mr. Spock. Have you ascertained yet what we're maintaining our distance from?
I cannot say what it is, Captain. But I would say it has found us.
On the forward view screen is a huge organism, roughly oval in shape, surrounded by a transparent blue membrane. Inside it glows blue and red. As the bridge crew watch, the internal structure changes. Long, tentacle-like structures appear along the lower side of the creature.
Prepare to launch a probe, Mr. Chekhov.
Aye, sir. Probe ready for launch, sir.
Getting very confused readings, Captain, but this is definitely the source of the energy drain.
Launch probe.
Probe launched, sir.
Probe will impact in 7.3 seconds.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The ship shakes.
Are we still in contact with the probe?
Yes, sir. Data being relayed to Mr. Spock.
Readings coming in now, Captain. Length, approximately 11,000 miles. Width, varying from 2,000 to 3,000 miles. Outer layer studded with space debris and waste. Interior consists of protoplasm, varying from a firmer gelatinous layer to a semi-fluid central mass. Condition: living.
Everyone looks at the view screen more closely.
Magnification. 4.
Magnification 4, sir.
The jelly-like interior structure of the creature pulses.
That is what is drawing us toward it, Captain. The same way it drew the Intrepid to her death.
The Enterprise flies inexorably closer to the creature. In the medical lab, McCoy brings a video up on screen.
That is an amoeba.
Yes, I remember my basic biology, Doctor. Do you mean to tell me that thing out there is a giant, single-celled animal?
Yes, for lack of a better term. It's a very simple form of life. In fact, it's a much simpler form of life, what you're looking at now. But that thing out there apparently can perform all the functions that qualify it as a living organism. It can reproduce, it can breathe, it can eat. Although I don't know what.
Energy itself, perhaps, drained from us. I would speculate that this unknown life form is invading our galaxy like a virus.
The Intrepid died of that particular virus. How is it we survive?
The Intrepid must have come across the organism while it was still low in energy, still hungry. We are not safe, Captain. We merely have a little more time than the Intrepid did.
What about this zone of darkness? Does the organism generate it itself? As a form of protection?
Well, it's one of the things we've got to find out. We've got to take a closer look at it.
The closer we get, the faster our energy drains out. We're barely surviving at this distance.
Perhaps we could risk the shuttlecraft. Perhaps with a protective shield.
I'm not sending anyone anywhere. Unmanned probes can give us the information we need to destroy this thing. It can be destroyed.
I must differ with you, Captain. We have sent unmanned probes into it. They have given us some information, but they have not told us what we need to know. And we cannot afford the power to take blind shots at it, hoping to kill it.
We could send one man in, pinpoint its vulnerable spots.
Do you know what the odds are in coming back? I can't order a man to do that.
Well, who said anything about an order, Jim? You've got a volunteer. I've already done the preliminary work.
It's a suicide mission, Bob.
The thing evidently has reflexes. The unmanned probe we sent into it must have stung it when it entered. The lurch we felt was the turbulence of its reaction.
All right, so I'd know enough to go slow when we penetrated its vulnerable spots.
You have a martyr complex, Doctor. I submit that it disqualifies you.
McCoy glares at Spock.
You think that I intend to pass up the greatest living laboratory since...
The Vulcans saw it first and died.
Well, just because the Vulcans failed...
I am more capable.
Gentlemen, I am not taking volunteers.
You don't think you're going?
Well, I'm better qualified as a command pilot than you are.
Which makes you indispensable, Captain. Further, you are not a science specialist.
Jim, that organism contains chemical processes we've never seen before and may never see again. Well, we could learn more in one day.
We don't have one day, Doctor. We have precisely 1 hour and 35 minutes of power left.
Jim.
Captain,
Gentlemen, I'll decide.
Back in his quarters, Kirk switches on a recorder.
Captain's personal log. Stardate 4309.2. We've established that the thing which destroyed the USS Intrepid and the Gamma 7A system is an incredibly huge but simple cellular being whose energies are totally destructive to all known life. Both Mr. Spock and Dr. McCoy have volunteered to go in a specially equipped shuttlecraft, penetrate the cell, find a way to destroy it, and free the ship. Dr. McCoy has the medical, biological knowledge. Mr. Spock is better suited physically and emotionally to stand the stress. Both are right. Both are capable. And which of my friends do I condemn to death?
Ahead of the ship, the amoeba looms larger. Kirk turns on his comm screen.
This is the captain. Mr. Spock, Dr. McCoy, report to my quarters immediately.
Kirk up.
Engineering to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here.
You asked me to keep you informed on the power drain, sir. All levels are down 50% now. And still draining. We can maintain thrust for another hour and 15 minutes.
Very well. Prepare the shuttlecraft for launching.
Sir.
Dr. McCoy will tell you what special equipment to put in it. Kirk out.
McCoy almost smirks.
I'm sorry, Mr. Spock.
Right. I'll get a few things I need, Jim.
Not you, Bones. I'm sorry, Mr. Spock. You're best qualified to go.
Later, McCoy and Spock walk down a corridor towards the shuttle deck.
Do not suffer so, Doctor. This is not the first time superior capability has proven more valuable than professional credentials.
Nothing has been proven yet, Spock. The DNA coda analyzer will give you the fundamental structure of the thing. You'll need readings on three light wavelengths from the enzyme recorder.
I am familiar with the equipment, Doctor. We're wasting time. The shuttlecraft is ready.
You're determined not to let me share in this, aren't you?
This is not a competition, Doctor. Whether you understand it or not, grant me my own kind of dignity.
Vulcan dignity? How can I grant you what I don't understand?
Then employ one of your own superstitions. Wish me luck.
McCoy looks at Spock with a flinty expression and lowers his eyes. Spock turns almost sadly away. McCoy waits until the pressure equalizes and thumps the door open switch. He watches as Spock walks purposefully towards the boxy little shuttlecraft. The airlock doors slide close. Only then does McCoy's face relax.
Good luck, Spock.
Scotty has come onto the bridge for the shuttle launch.
All systems clear for shuttlecraft launch, sir.
Launch, shuttlecraft.
Shuttlecraft away, sir.
On board the shuttlecraft, the rear compartment has been sealed off by a screen. A large winking computer sits against the hull behind the co-pilot's chair. Spock gets up from the pilot's seat and checks it out.
Lieutenant Uhura, channel automatic telemetry directly to the computers.
Aye, aye, sir.
Shuttlecraft to Enterprise.
Come in, Spock.
Our drain is enormous and growing worse.
Check out.
Converting all secondary power to the shields. Communications as long as there is power to transmit.
Captain, he won't have enough power to get back out if he diverts it to his shields.
Spock.
I heard, Captain.
We discussed that possibility earlier, but you will need this information.
When do you estimate penetration?
Slowing now. Contact in 18.3 seconds. Brace yourselves. The area of penetration will no doubt be sensitive. Contact
in 6 seconds.
Spock is thrown from his seat. The bridge of the Enterprise shudders.
Report, Mr. Spock.
McCoy, standing next to Kirk, listens anxiously.
Spock, report.
I am undamaged, Captain. Relay to Mr. Scott, I had 3% power reserve before the shields stabilized.
There was nothing to spare. I shall continue my tests. Oh, and Dr. McCoy. You would not have survived it.
You want a bet?
I am moving slowly now, establishing course toward what appears to be the nucleus.
Looking through the forward-facing windows, Spock heads for a web of dark material.
Sir, Mr. Spock has reduced life support systems to bare minimum.
Spock, save your power for the shields.
Calculations indicate the shields will last only 47 minutes.
He glances up out of the window again.
Identify the chromosome structure.
Changes indicate the organism has stored sufficient energy for reproductive process to commence.
I mean, there'll be two of those things?
I'm having difficulty maintaining ship control.
Spock, you read me? Spock, do you read me?
I am losing voice contact. I will transmit internal coordinates of chromosome bodies.
Spock, come in. Come in.
Contact lost, sir.
Everyone looks round at Kirk in disbelief. Suddenly, the bridge judders. Kirk bangs his arm on the chair.
He's alive! He's kicked it in the side to let us know.
Captain, I'm getting telemetry.
Mr. Chekhov, telemetry analysis as it comes in.
Time passes. McCoy leans his elbow on Kirk's command chair.
According to Spock's telemetry information, there are over 40 chromosomes in the nucleus that are ready to come together, ready to reproduce.
If the energy of that organism only doubles, we're dead, and everything within a light year will be defenseless.
Well, all I know is that soon there'll be 2, 4, 8 more. And the entire anti-life matter that thing puts out could someday encompass the entire galaxy.
Spock understood when he transmitted the coordinates of the chromosomes. We must destroy that organism.
Captain, the pull from that organism is increasing, and the power drain from our shields is getting critical.
How much time do we have?
No more than an hour now, sir.
Put all secondary systems on standby. Shield power has unconditional priority.
Aye, sir.
The Enterprise draws closer to the outer membrane.
Captain, I'm receiving a message from Mr. Spock on a low-energy channel. It's faint, but it is readable.
Put it on, Lieutenant.
On audio, sir.
This is Spock.
I'm slowly losing life support and minimal shield energies. According to my calculations,
nervous energy of the organism is maximal just within its outer protective membrane, relatively insensitive to interior energy. charge of... could destroy the organism held Dr. McCoy. He should have wished me luck.
Captain's log, star date 4309.4. We have determined we can destroy the creature, provided we can do it from inside the organism. Spock clearly knew how to destroy it, but was unable to transmit that information.
How do you feel?
It's on your mind.
Spock, is it me, Jim? Am I so sentimental that I just have to keep believing that he's still alive out there in that mass of protoplasm?
He knew the odds when he went out there, just as you did when you volunteered to go.
Kirk gazes at the hull wall.
What is that thing out there, Bones? It's not intelligent. Not yet.
It's a disease, like a virus invading the body of our galaxy.
Kirk turns to McCoy with sudden interest.
Yes, it is, isn't it? How many cells does a human body have?
Millions.
This thing, this cell, this virus, it's 11,000 miles long, and it's one cell. When it grows into millions, we'll be the virus invading its body.
Oh, isn't that a thought? Here we are, antibodies of our own galaxy, attacking an invading germ. It'd be ironic indeed if that were our sole destiny, wouldn't it?
Antibodies. Ridge!
Scotty here, sir.
Scotty, how much power do we have left? We're down to 43%, sir. We're slipping a bit against the pull that beastie's putting on us.
We can't last more than 45 minutes at this rate of decline. Less if I have to apply more thrust.
What would happen if you diverted all remaining power to the shields? Except for impulse power. Keep that in reserve.
Cut the engine thrust? We'd be sucked into that thing like being caught in the wind tunnel, sir.
Exactly. Prepare to divert power on my signal.
Kirk up.
He slumps over the screen. McCoy takes a surreptitious scan.
You got something to say?
Technically, no. Medically, yes. Between the stimulants and the pressure, I would suggest that you try to stay off your feet for a few minutes.
I don't have a few minutes, Bones. Maybe none of us do. Let's go.
McCoy and Kirk arrive on the bridge.
All hands, this is the captain. We're going to enter the body of the organism rather abruptly, I would think. Damage control party stand by. All decks secure for collision. Kirk, out.
Everyone on the bridge hangs on to their consoles or to the gallery rail.
Ready, Scotty.
Switching power to shields. Impulse in reserve. Cutting thrust to zero. Now.
The bridge shudders as the Enterprise approaches the marbled brown and red shape.
Impact 5 seconds.
People are thrown from their seats to the floor. The view screen fills with the strange marbled pattern.
We're through, sir.
I believe everybody's aware of that, Mr. Chekov.
McCoy and Kirk exchange a glance.
Damage control parties. Report minimal damage, sir. Repairs are being initiated.
Very good, Lieutenant. Captain, we've only 26% power reserves after entry.
Do we have impulse power, Scotty?
I saved all I could, sir, but I don't know whether we have enough to get back out again. Or time, either.
We are committed.
Aye, we are. But we're committed to what? We have no power for the phasers.
We couldn't use it if we had it. We'd cook ourselves along with that mess of protoplasm out there.
The thing would probably like phasers. It eats power.
Well, then what the devil... Begging your pardon, sir. What are we doing?
Mr. Spock was trying to tell us what to do when we lost voice contact.
But we can't use the power to destroy it.
Anti-power. This thing has a negative energy charge. Everything seems to work in reverse.
We'll use antimatter.
Aye. It couldn't swallow that.
Mr. Chekhov, prepare a probe. Scotty, we need a magnetic bottle for the charge. How soon?
It's on its way, sir.
Mr. Chekhov, we'll use a timing detonator for the probe. We'll work out a setting.
Aye, sir.
Helmsman, what do you estimate arrival on nucleus?
7 minutes, sir.
How close are you going to it?
Point blank range. We'll implant it, then back away.
Why? The probe has a range of...
With the eddies and currents in that protoplasm, the probe could drift thousands of kilometers. We must be exactly on target. Because we won't have a second chance. Bones.
Kirk steps up to the upper level and towards the turbo lift doors. McCoy joins him there.
Time for another stimulant.
How long do you think you can keep taking that stuff? It'll blow you apart.
Keep me together for another 7 minutes. That's all I need.
On board the shuttle.
Personal log. Commander Spock, USS Enterprise. I have noted the passage of the Enterprise on its way to whatever awaits it. If this record should survive me, I wish it known that I bequeath my highest commendation and testimonial to the captain, officers, and crew of the Enterprise, the finest starship in the fleet.
On the bridge of the Enterprise.
We have arrived at the chromosome body in the nucleus of the organism. If we should fail in our attempt to destroy it, or be unable to free ourselves, I wish to record my recommendations for the following personnel. They receive special citation. Lieutenant Commander Leonard McCoy, Lieutenant Commander Montgomery Scott, officers Chekhov, Cowell, Uhura. And my highest commendation for Commander Spock, science officer, who gave his life in the performance of his duty.
Target coordinates programmed, sir. Probe ready for launch.
Scott, how much time do we have left at 100% impulse power?
6, maybe 7 minutes, sir.
Mr. Cowell, program fuse for 7 minute delay.
Kirk opens a shipwide comms channel.
All non-essential systems on standby. Communications, scanning, conserve every bit of power. We must make it through the membrane before that thing explodes. Make it work, Scotty.
Aye, sir.
Programming complete. Ready for launch.
Launch probe at zero acceleration. Forward thrust off 1/10 of a second.
Forward thrust off, sir. Probe launched, sir.
The bridge shakes. McCoy looks at Kirk.
Despite what Spock said, it's still plenty sensitive.
Probe confirmed. It is lodged in the nucleus near the chromosome bodies.
Mr. Cowell, back us out the way we came in. Mr. Chekhov, a nice straight line. Don't waste any time.
Backing out, sir.
Estimate will be out in 6.37 minutes.
Very good.
Captain, metallic substance outside the ship.
Spock.
Lieutenant, get me Spock's voice channel, highest possible gain.
Go ahead, sir.
Spock, do you read me? Do you read me, Spock? Do you read me? Come in, Spock. Spock! Gotta get a tractor beam.
Captain, we don't have enough time to do it. We only have a 53-second escape margin.
I'm well aware of that, Mr. Scott. Get 2 tractor beams on that shuttlecraft.
Aye, sir. Tractor beams on.
Captain, I recommend you abandon the attempt. Do not risk the ship further on my behalf.
Shut up, Spock. We're rescuing you.
Kirk grins and nods.
Why, thank you, Captain McCoy.
McCoy's crabby expression doesn't change. Kirk gives a wry smile.
Almost out. We're approaching the membrane, sir.
Time until explosion.
57 seconds, sir.
Maintaining tractor beams on shuttlecraft, Mr. Scott?
Aye, sir. But I can't guarantee it'll hold when the warhead explodes. The power levels are...
Power levels are dead, sir.
Kirk looks up at Scotty gravely and leans back in his chair with a solemn, fatalistic expression.
You may have just written our epitaph, Mr. Scott.
The bridge rocks violently. Chekhov is thrown from his seat. On the shuttle, Spock is hurled to the floor. Everyone picks themselves up.
Activate main viewing screen.
The view screen shows nothing but darkness. Then the stars reappear. There's no sign of the amoeba-like creature. Chekhov excitedly takes readings on the science scanner.
Mr. Chekhov, report.
The organism is destroyed, sir. The explosion must have ruptured the membrane and thrown us clear.
Power is coming back, sir.
Shuttlecraft.
I don't know how, sir, but it's still with us.
Shuttlecraft to Enterprise. Shuttlecraft to Enterprise. Request permission to come aboard.
McCoy cracks a broad smile.
Spock, you're alive.
Obviously, Captain. And I have some fascinating data on the organism.
Don't be so smart, Spock. You botched the acetylcholine test.
Later. Bring the shuttlecraft aboard, Mr. Scott.
Aye, sir.
Prepare to receive shuttlecraft.
The shuttlecraft maneuvers into the hangar deck, and the huge doors close behind it.
Receive shuttlecraft. Hangar doors closed. Hangar deck, pressurizing.
Mr. Chekhov, laying a course for Starbase 6 ahead warp factor 5. I'm still looking forward to a nice period of rest and relaxation on some lovely planet.
He eyes a shapely female ensign as she walks away and turns to McCoy with a knowing smile. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.